Today, as we bless and remember our animal companions, we do so in the context of lifting up the life of Saint Francis to once again convict and inspire us. And so we hear again a bit of his story. Francis was born in 1182, born into a wealthy family, and lived the life of a very privileged young man. At about the age of 20, with dreams of glory on his heart, he donned a knight's armor and went off to fight in the neighboring cities. He was captured and spent a year in prison before he was released, and upon return, succumbed to a debilitating illness. Prior to this, he had abhorred the poor and the sick. But after this, he was riding in the countryside and saw a leper. And he dismounted and went to the leper and gave him his cloak and kissed him. And it was in this moment that his life began to take on a shape far different from those of his family or culture. While praying beside a crucifix, like in this icon here, in the dilapidated chapel of San Damiano, Francis heard that famous voice. The voice saying, "Francis, repair my church, for it has fallen into ruin." At first, he was inclined to take this literally and set out to restore the building. Only later did he begin to understand that his mission was far more spiritual in nature. His vocation was to recall the church to the radical simplicity of the gospel, to mother poverty, and to the image of Christ in the poor. He divested himself of his father's wealth and turned to a life of penitence, service and humility, and embrace the name Little Poor One. Francis had a vivid sense of the sacramentality of all creation. He cherished the earth and its creatures, treated women with respect and dignity, and pointed to a new form of human and cosmic community, marked by humble love. Francis resolved to take on the life of the Beatitudes and to take serious Jesus' self-emptying love, a way of mercy and compassion, and a determination to proclaim the gospel not just with words, but with his life. For this, he was ridiculed and at times ostracized, as he held up a mirror to the hypocrisy of the church and the disparity of rich and poor within his own community. He demonstrated that it was in his devotion to the crucified and risen one that allowed him to become poor, serving Christ in those Christ had always placed first. This week, someone posted a plea that we stop turning the radical life of this saint into a garden ornament. And we seem to be in real danger of doing this. We've seen those dangerous portrayals of Francis as skipping through a field of daisies with animals frolicking around him, kind of like a Disney Cinderella film. This kind of portrayal begins to distance us from the hard reality of that call to a life of simplicity. It removes the aching hunger, the blistered feet, those hands that touched lepers, reconciled warring neighbors, and bore on his body Christ's wounds on hand and side. As I shared on Thursday, it is in writing his beautiful canticle to the creatures, which is not written dancing in creation, but in the depths of his suffering, while rats overran his sleeping mat. It is in this that his call to simplicity is born and lived out. And it is not as easy for us to then, in this picture, place him in our garden and forget about him. When we romanticize the lives of these saints, we can allow us to say, stay safely at a distance from that prophetic call. That call that reminds us that hidden within the foolish and the poor are those true seeds of the kingdom of God come near. In our gospel, Jesus reminds us that God has hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to children. In the profound simplicity and trust, in the stripping away of those things we rely so heavily on, be they knowledge or wealth or institutions, it is there God is revealed. It is as we let go and become like Cooper or Lucy or any of these blessed creatures, as we trust, we see that we too are creatures, part of the wildly diverse and wonderful creation that we heard about in our psalm and in our creation story. And there's such freedom in that, to then follow the beloved call of our own Creator. That passage we read in Matthew comes in the context of a wider call to discipleship, both the cost and the rewards. Not long before this passage is read, Jesus has sent out the 70 with nothing, just each other, and the assurance that they go as seeds to be planted, as hearts and voices to share that God has a different message from the Pax Romana. One that says, blessed are the meek, not the mighty. Blessed are the poor in heart. Blessed is the earth that cries out. Blessed are those who mourn. Jesus has also cautioned about the persecutions that can accompany such a proclamation. He has warned that there will be those who cannot hear and will not welcome, who would rather demean others than open themselves to the yoked work of the kingdom. And even today we have seen this so clearly with the personal attacks against Greta Thunberg. But Jesus calls to those hoarse from shouting, maligned on our media, the weary, burnt out, and brokenhearted. God calls out to the blistered, beautiful feet of those who struggle to walk in the footsteps of St. Francis and says, come. Come and receive God's rest, nothing less than new life in God's created world. Learn from me. Be schooled by me. Be apprenticed to me. Come and take up the yoke of discipleship and find rest and renewal. What Jesus offers is not freedom from work, but from soul-sick weariness. To accept the yoke of the humble and gentle one is to embrace hope in the face of despair. And the worthy task that puts the soul at ease. This good work is to trust in the unhurried rhythms of grace. To learn again that if we loose our grip on those things that keep us bound, we will be held. If, like Francis, we give it all away, we will find ourselves on a path that leads to the heart of God. and God's good creation. But we need to slow down long enough to notice and to divest ourselves of all the things that keep us separate, and maybe stop and bless the creatures around us. Stop long enough to hear the bird song and to watch the twitch of a cat's tail as it longingly watches. To feel against our body the warm weight of a dog, or smell that unique scent of a horse's coat. To see in the face of the poor, that stranger, the disfigured, a glimpse of the Holy One. In the midst of our pain or the pain of this world, to stop and know that God is present as near as breath. To rest a moment in the peace of wild things and find ourselves connected, stripped down to the beautiful simplicity of our senses, united in our suffering and in our love for this earth and its creator. When I was in the chapel of San Damiano last year, I knelt before one of the many crucifixes and looked around at those few stone chairs and realized that there, with just a few companions bound together in love, service, and a profound sense of the cross, these few people committed to follow Jesus into the world, and their witness radically and uncomfortably recalled the church to the gospel in their time. How will we, in our time, similarly follow Jesus into the world? How will we yoke ourselves to this God who is gentle and humble in heart, and find the good and difficult work of this kingdom? How will our stripped-down proclamation return our church to a deep interconnectedness with all of God's creatures and lead us deeper into surrender and into love? Perhaps we start by becoming childlike again, or creature-like, approaching our faith and the world with reverence and wonder, that kind of foolishness that believes we can be a part of the change. St. Francis writes, "Ask the beasts, and they will teach you the beauty of this earth. Remember that when you leave this earth, you can take with you nothing that you have received, only what you have given, a full heart enriched by honest service, love, sacrifice, and courage. By the grace of God, may we strive to walk this way. Amen."